We are rolling along with the Capital City Recap 1320 WILS. Well, if you've been to Detroit recently, my next guest is going to give you a whole new perspective on the city. Maybe teach you a few things here. Aaron Foley, the author of the brand new book, How to Live in Detroit Without Being a Jackass. Aaron, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Michael.
Yeah, and you were born in Detroit, and did you grow up in the city too then?
Yep, in the city limits on the west side.
And what was that experience like for you?
It was pretty, I tell people it was pretty boring, pretty normal. Lived in a brick house, went to good schools, tree-lined streets and all that. Lived around a bunch of senior citizens and middle-aged people and whatnot. I had a really good experience living in Detroit.
Was it the time that you grew up there? Is Detroit a different city today?
It certainly is in many ways, but one of the things I talk about in my book is how some of the places like the neighborhood I grew up haven't really changed that much. There's certainly blight, and there's certainly things that have gone a little downhill. But what a lot of people don't realize is how big and how diverse the city is, and how many neighborhoods that don't really get talked about as much are still maintaining and thriving.
Really? So when someone drives into the city and they've never been to Detroit before, and they're startled, by the big empty spaces and some of the blight that they see. How should they interpret all that?
It's really a culmination of a lot of things that have happened for decades. It's the changes that happened in the automotive industry with lots of jobs moving outside of Detroit. But it's also has to do with the population decline. It was 2 million in the 1940s. Now it's less than 700,000 here.
Are you saying it's not as bad as it looks?
It's been talked about today as far as how much vacant space and empty space there is. Usually people throw around a false statistic about how a third of the city is vacant, when it's actually a sixth of the city that's vacant. And once you get into different neighborhoods, I think about places on the west side like Rosedale Park and Grandmont and Old Redford and places like those where some of these neighborhoods that are not immediately seen off the freeways and whatnot are still there, and people are still, having their block clubs and building businesses and things like that, or maintaining businesses that have been in the community for 40, 50 years. No, I don't think it's as bad as everyone makes it out to be.
Talking to Aaron Foley, the author of the brand new book, How to Live in Detroit Without Being a Jackass. What led you to put that title together?
Just because there are, this is not to say that no one is welcome in the city, but there is curiosity and interest in Detroit, and people are moving here, but being willfully ignorant of the things that brought us to this point. Like, how do we end up bankrupt? How do we end up with so much blight? How do we end up with population loss? And people are not learning about these things and kind of thinking that, the people that still live in Detroit, don't have any respect for the city when in actuality, many people that live here, I would say the majority of people that live here, have great respect for the city. They are maintaining their homes and things like that. And people act like, oh, I'm just here to resettle this place. I'm here to colonize this place, which is totally ignorant, I think.
And you address all kinds of issues in the book, including how to be white in Detroit. How should you be white in Detroit?
That the name of that chapter is a little tongue-in-cheek. Actually, the whole book is a little bit snarky. But, it talks about how, sometimes, we as people, we don't know how to talk to people that don't look like ourselves all the time. And so we can say things that can be offensive or can be ignorant. So I sort of give some advice on how you can talk to the city, especially because Detroit is 80% white.
What kinds of things do the newly or some of the newer white residents of Detroit, what kinds of offensive things do they say?
Things like, do you own a gun? Do you like to talk about the struggles and things like that? People always try to find common ground in the negative rather than finding common ground like in the positive. As far as I think all of us in Detroit, we want better schools. We want crime to be reduced. But, as soon as people come into Detroit, they immediately go for either the stereotypical things or the negative things instead of starting off on the good foot.
And the influx of white millennials specifically into the city, is that a positive thing for Detroit?
It's certainly a positive thing. I mean, there's definitely a lot of vacant and empty places that need to be filled. But how do we respect the people that are already here? That's my concern.
Do you think that they sometimes are not respectful of the old-time Detroit residents?
I think so, yeah. I mean, there's definitely pronounced examples, everything from certain apartment buildings where you push out senior citizens that have lived there for 20, 30 years and remodel them into, you know, $1,000, $1,100, $1,500 apartments, or little things when people try to open a business and they say things like, oh, there hasn't been anyone in this neighborhood forever, and they're standing right in front of people who have been there and choosing to say,
they have that outsider's perspective, and they don't have the that experience of being in the city. You write also about how to be black in Detroit, also, and what's the message there?
I think the message there, coming from myself being a black writer, I talk about how you can sometimes feel like an outsider in your own town, and you see so much coverage of Detroit that only focuses on white residents and white businesses when the city is 80% black. You never see anybody that looks like you in any of this coverage. Or I also talk about some of the microaggressions and the racist things that happen to, you know, black people in Detroit, whether it's police brutality or erasure of our narratives or making sure our voices aren't heard. Mm-hmm. Those are some of the, I mean, that's a more serious take, I think, on what I talk about throughout the book.
The perception, too, of public safety, that there are, you know, there's a crime problem in Detroit, and people may feel unsafe when they walk out of places like, let's say, Greektown. How accurate do you think that is?
There is a crime problem. I do think that Detroit police right now, they're doing a better job now that they have a little bit more resources to combat crime. But, you know, Detroit is a city like in many other major cities, Chicago, New York. There's going to be crime in big cities, but there's crime in suburbs that isn't as talked about. There's crime in mid-sized cities. There's crime in rural places. Not to say that crime is just overrunning every city, but, you know, you are going to have your challenges and you are going to have your problems, but there are some things that you can do yourself to reduce that, such as not keeping valuables in plain sight in your car or not engaging in activity that would make yourself a target. You know, don't sell drugs. Don't try to rob.
That's some good advice. I should note, too, you went to Michigan State University, so you spent some time in our neck of the woods. Do you live in Detroit now, then?
I do, yes.
Yeah. And what's how's the neighborhood where you live now?
You know, it's pretty good. Yeah. I'm surrounded by the people that don't get talked about. I'm surrounded by people that cut their grass and send their kids to school and want to make a difference in the city that they live in.
Hmm. And not a lot of jackasses, I'm guessing?
Not a lot, no.
Yeah. Look, Aaron Foley, the book, How to Live in Detroit Without Being a Jackass. Aaron Foley, where can folks find your book, Aaron?
Up there in Lansing, you can get it at any of the Schuler Book locations, or you can get it online at beltmag.com. That's like a belt that you wear, mag.com, or on Amazon. Mm-hmm. And lots of other local bookstores here in Detroit have it, and Barnes & Noble and places like those. So it's almost everywhere.
Beltmag.com. Aaron Foley. Aaron, thank you very much.
Yep, thank you.